Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 150. We'll read the entire psalm, verses 1 through 6 together. Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6, and we'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 150, again, we'll read all six verses and we'll read them responsively. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you for being our God. Lord, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you that though we do try to meet the needs of this area, we have a world vision as well. Thank you for the man of God that you've given us. The Holy Spirit of God, please calm our hearts, calm our minds. May we focus on you right now. Listen to what the preacher has to say so that we can go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I don't know of any Christian who would argue the point that we as Christians are to praise the Lord. Psalm 150 is an entire chapter dedicated to telling us to praise the Lord. Psalm 150 verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. He said, praise him in the sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. Then again in verse number 2, it says, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So we're to praise him for his mighty acts. We're to praise him according to his excellent greatness. In verse number 3, it says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. We should praise him with the trumpet. You heard it happening right here in this auditorium earlier as the orchestra praised him with the trumpet. It said, praise him with the psaltery. Praise him with the harp. In verse number 4, it says, praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. So, with the timbrel, we're to praise him. With the stringed instruments, we're to praise him. With the organ, we are to praise him. In verse number 5, it says, praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Here God says, there's a cymbal that makes a little more noise than others, the loud ones. Praise him with those. And yet, there are smaller cymbals. Their sound is a little more definite. On those high-sounding cymbals, you praise him. In verse number 6, it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Everything that hath breath is to praise the Lord. We're to praise his name according to Psalm 69 verse 30 where it says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. We're to praise him more and more, the Bible says. Psalm 71:14 says, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. The Bible teaches that the poor should praise him. Psalm 74 verse 21 says, oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. The Bible teaches us that our mouths should be full of praise for our God. Psalm 71:8 says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Seven times a day, the psalmist said, I praise him. Psalm 119:164 says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. We should praise him for his loving kindness. The Bible says in Psalm 138, verse number 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple. Praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. The Bible teaches that kings should praise him. Psalm 138, verse 4 says, all the kings of the earth shall praise him, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. We're to praise him forever and ever. Psalm 145, verse 2 says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. God said that the angels are to praise Him. Psalm 148 verse 2 says, "Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts." The Bible teaches that the sun and the moon should praise Him. "Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light." Psalm 148 verse 3. The Bible teaches we should praise Him all day long. Psalm 35 verse 28. "And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." The Bible says that the heavens and the earth and the seas should praise Him. Psalm 69 verse 34. "Let the heaven and the earth praise Him, the seas and everything that moveth therein." Folks, He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. But can you imagine being praised by the one who is worthy of all praise? Can you imagine being complimented by the one who deserves all compliments? Can you imagine being noticed by the one who always deserves to be noticed? And that's what the sermon is all about today. I call the sermon today, "Praised by the One Who Deserves All Praise." Praised by the One Who Deserves All Praise. Hey, wonder if you as a basketball player were told by Michael Jordan, "Good shot." Wonder if you as a baseball player were told by Mickey Mantle, "Good hit." Wonder if you as a businessman were told by Bill Gates, "Excellent strategy." Wonder if you as a homemaker were told by Martha Stewart, "Good housekeeping." Wonder if you as a preacher were told by Jack Hiles, "Powerful sermon." Wonder if you, sir, as aerobics instructor, were told by Richard Simmons, "Cute wiggle." No, I'm not sure how that one got in there. It's always good to know that you're listening, though. Wonder if you, as a military man, were told by Douglas MacArthur, "Good war plan." Wonder if you, as a chef, were told by Colonel Sanders, "Finger licking good chicken." Today, I want to point out to us some people in the Scripture who were good enough Christians that Jesus praised them. Praised by the one who deserves all praise. For instance, number one, Peter was praised by the one who deserves all praise. You say, for what? For lifting up Jesus. For lifting up Jesus. Listen to this. Matthew 16, verse 15 and 16, it says, "He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus had come to the coast of the Caesarea Philippi. He asked the disciples who men were saying that He was. One man said, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead." Another said, "Well, Jesus, some are saying that you are Elijah, come back from the dead." He had been translated, and so now he's back. Somebody else said, "Jesus, they're saying that you're Jeremiah, come back from the dead." Another one said, "Well, Jesus, they're saying that they think you're one of the Old Testament prophets." Four different answers were given to Jesus. Jesus said, "Folks, who do people say that I am?" Four different answers were given. And Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, who do you think I am?" Peter spoke up and said in Matthew 16, 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus, the one who deserves all praise, says to Simon Peter, "Blessed art thou. Blessed art thou." Hey, the greatly to be praised has become the great praiser. I wonder, do you realize what just happened? Peter uplifts Jesus, and Jesus turns around and says, "I praise you for that." Wait a minute. The one who deserves all praise has taken a moment to praise lowly man? Indeed he did. And I tell you, folks, if in the Bible, the one who deserved all praise would take a moment and praise someone in the human race, I would think that you and I would want to do what they did so that we too might get some praise from our God. You say, praise from our God? I'm just telling you, the one who deserved all praise praised Peter. How did he do it? Why did he do it? Because Peter lifted up Jesus. Jesus was lifted up. Jesus was lifted up. What an honor to be praised. But I could see why Jesus would praise him for that. He lifted up Jesus. Folks, we need to lift up Jesus. Peter lifted up Jesus. Folks, lift Jesus up at work. Please don't get the idea that the only place that you're to lift him up is down at the church house. And let me tell you this, if you can't lift him up down here, you dead sure are not lifting him up out there. This is the easy place to lift him up. Hey, while we're singing and you're standing there like a bump on a log that you don't care, we're supposed to be praising the Lord. And don't you tell me you're praising him on Monday when you can't praise him on Sunday with a church house full of people praising him. But Peter lifted him up, and he was praised for doing so. Lift him up at work. Lift him up at home. I said this recently, and I'll say it again. Your home should not be a war zone. Your home should not be a hell on earth. You lift him up in your attitude. You lift him up at home. We ought to lift him up at home. We ought to lift him up at work. Hey, folks, let's not apologize for being Christians. In our society today, they're trying to drive us underground. I'm a Christian, and I'm not ashamed of it. And don't you be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed to be a Christian. Lift him up. Lift him up at work. Lift him up at home. Lift him up out in public, in society. Lift him up in the public school, teenager. Not all the young people in our church have the privilege of going to Martinsburg Christian Academy. And neither did I. I wish I would have gone to a Christian school. If I could have, I would have. But I couldn't, and I didn't. But I'm going to tell you something. When I went to the public school, I carried my Bible to school. I was not ashamed to be a Christian. I was not ashamed to bow my head at lunch at the public school lunch table. I was not ashamed to be a Christian. And you, those of you that go to the public school, you be a good Christian at school. You lift him up at school. You lift him up on the internet. You lift him up. And folks, just so you all know, you can send me all the invitations you want to get in your chat rooms and all your little internet dealies. I'm not joining any of that junk. I got too much to do. But let me tell you, if you're going to be on that internet, everything you do better have something to do with Jesus Christ and at least be approvable by him. Did you know that he sees everything that you say in your chat room back and forth with people? He sees it all. He knows it all. Every bit of it. Lift him up at home. Lift him up at work. Lift him up in the community. Lift him up in the public school. Lift him up on the internet. Lift him up in your own mind. We somehow lift him up on the outside with our body, our gestures, but on the inside, we're nasty. Lift him up. Lift him up in the privacy of your mind. You lift him up, and especially when others are casting him down. But what I see here is this. I see Peter was praised by the one who deserves all praise. What for? For lifting up Jesus. Secondly, I noticed that Mary of Bethany was praised by the one who deserves all praise. You say, for what? What was Mary of Bethany praised for? For listening to the Word of God the right way. For listening to the Word of God the right way. Listen to this. Luke chapter 10, verse 40 and 41 says, "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, that thou art careful and troubled about many things." Here's the story. Two sisters lived in Bethany. Jesus visited their village and their home. Their names were Mary and Martha. Martha was busy during Jesus' visit. She was busy preparing the meal and about the house. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus listening to his word. And in Luke 10:39, it says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." In verse number 40, her sister says, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" Martha tells Jesus, "Mary ought to get up and get in here and serve." Hey, the one who deserves all praise said, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." What was Mary doing? She was listening to the Word of God. Hey, that's better than having Mary Kay compliment you for your odor or your scent or whatever that thing's called. The one who deserves all praise
has praised a human being. What for? For their attention to the importance of the Word of God. She was truly interested in what Jesus was saying about the Word of God. Folks, could I recommend something to you? Could I recommend that you are listening to what you're reading when you read your Bible? Don't just read it. Read it to absorb it. Read it to let it change your life. Here, the one who deserved all praise took the time to praise a human being for what? Their attention to the importance of the Word of God. Listen as you read your Bible. Listen as you hear the Bible preached. Folks, let me tell you, why in the world would you come to church and take the time to get up in the morning, bathe, well, most of you, take the time to bathe, comb your hair, most of you, and then come to church, go through all the effort of getting here, come in here and sit down, and then play all the time the preacher's preaching. Be preoccupied, be thinking about everything else under the sun. Why in the world would you have that approach to the preaching of the Word of God? Really, whether you believe it or not, you came today. The primary purpose of this church service was for you to hear a message from God. Now listen. Amen. Listen to it. Listen as you read your Bible. Listen as you hear the Bible preached. Turn off your cell phone and listen to God's Word. Already this morning, I know it. I know it. I travel. I preach all the time. There's somebody in this auditorium right now. You're playing with your cell phone. Right now, you're playing with that stupid thing. Instead of listening to the Word of God, and it's a sin. And if you're sitting by somebody that's doing it right now, you let it be known. The preacher's disgusted with it, and God's disgusted with it. That's not why you came. That's not why you came. You say, well, it's important. Then get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and play with your cell phone, but don't do it at church. Oh my, she was praised. For what? Listening to the Word of God. She had a proper attitude about the Word of God. Listen as you read your Bible. Listen as the preacher preaches. Turn off your handheld little game that you play with and listen to the Word of God. Listen with your ears. Listen with your heart. Listen with your mind. Listen as if your life depends on it. And by the way, your life does. Listen as if your family depends on it. And by the way, your family does. Listen as if your future depends on it. Listen as if your children depend on it. Listen as if your marriage depends on it. Put everything else out of your mind. Clear your mind. Come to church and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Stay awake. Try this. Concentrate. Concentrate. On what? The Word of God. The Word of God. Concentrate on the preaching. In this passage of Scripture, Mary was praised. For what? Mary was praised by the one who deserves all praise because she had a proper attitude toward the Word of God. Peter was praised because Peter made sure he lifted up Jesus Christ. One of the best ways in the world for you to learn how to lift up Jesus Christ is you have the right attitude toward the Word of God. Then thirdly, I see that a Samaritan leper was praised by the one who deserves all praise. Say, what was that Samaritan leper praised for, Brother Owens? For being truly thankful. In Luke chapter 17, verse 13 and 14, it says this. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Listen to this. There were 10 lepers in Samaria. Jesus was going through town. Some lepers stood a little distance away from Jesus and they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus called back to them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. As these people with this disease of leprosy left and followed the command of Jesus to go show themselves to the priest, as they were walking away, they were healed physically. Their leprosy went away. 9 of them took off. 1 turned around and went back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell at Jesus' feet giving thanks. So, you know, I think the first batch were healed physically. I think the one that stuck around got healed spiritually too. He got born again. One turned around and went back and said, "Oh, sir, thank you. Thank you for what you did for me." Folks, can I tell you how often God is good to you and you run off and you go enjoy it? And it's pretty rare that anybody stops and looks at the goodness of God and goes back to the feet of the one that was good to you and says, "Thank you for being good to me." And the one who deserves all praise took the time to praise that leper, because that leper didn't just take the money and run. That leper went back to the source of all good and the source of all the kind things that happened to the human race and said, "Thank you, Jesus." And Jesus said, "I'm going to take a moment and praise you." The one who deserves all praise has given praise because someone is truly thankful. Are you truly thankful? Are you thankful for your salvation? When was the last time you just thanked God that you were saved? When was the last time you told anybody you thanked God you were saved? Are you thankful for your salvation? Are you thankful? Are you thankful for your church? Do you have a church that is doctrinally pure? You ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank God for your church. You ought to thank God that there is a place that is a haven for your family. Are you thankful for God's mercy on your life? If I could get everybody to take a look back over this month. It's the first month of the year. It's January. I'm going to promise you, just the month of January, there are people sitting under the sound of my voice. You have not noticed God's watch care. You've not thanked Him for His mercy. There are people in here right now. You should be dead. You should be in a hospital. There should be tragedy in your life. But your God stepped up and He helped you to avoid the inevitable. And you've not even taken the time to thank Him. You've not noticed how good God's been to you. Hey, make a big deal out of God's goodness. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. There's some of you, you look at your cup and it's half empty to you instead of half full. You say, "Brother Owens, I don't have everything I want." Yeah, but I'll tell you something. We've got more than we deserve. Are you thankful for God's forgiveness in your life? Are you thankful for your church? Are you thankful for your salvation? Are you thankful for God's watch care and mercy in your life? Are you thankful for your health? Are you thankful for your job? Or is it that all you do is gripe and complain? Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you went to your boss and thanked him for the paycheck? "So I worked for that. I earned that." Yeah, somebody gave you a job. Some of your bosses would fall over with a heart attack. Might be a way to get a new boss. If you walked in and said to your boss, "Listen, appreciate having a job. Appreciate being able to put food on the table. Appreciate in a day when not everybody has work and not everybody has a job and not everybody is coming up with a few bucks to pay their bills. Thank you. Thank you." Hey, are we thankful? The one who deserves all praise praised this man. Why? Because a man was truly thankful. Are you thankful for your freedom? Earlier, we introduced one of our men that is a veteran that while in the military injured, and there have been many others. And folks, we better thank God for those people that have paved the way to make America one nation under God. We better thank God for those that have paved the way for us to have the freedom that we have today right here in this church, where we can stand and preach the gospel without apology. There are some nations where you can't do that. I'm an American. I'm proud to be American. You cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue, and I am a free American, and I thank God today I have my freedom. When's the last time you thank God that you were free? Do you thank God for your husband? Do you thank God for your wife? Can I tell you something? Some of you take a little more time to look at your husband's positives instead of concentrate on his negatives all the time. You'd be far better off. You'd look at your wife's positives instead of her negatives, you'd be better off. Some of you young people, you ought to thank God you got a mom and dad that's got you in church. You ought to thank God for that. Thank God for your husband. Thank God for your wife. Thank God for your parents. Thank God for your children. Thank God your mother-in-law is not here right now. She's home. Listen, thank God. Thank God. The Samaritan leper was praised by the one who deserves all praise. Why? Because she was truly thankful. Peter was praised by the one who deserves all praise. Why in the world was it that Peter was praised by Jesus? Because he lifted up Jesus. We see that Mary of Bethany was praised by the one who deserves all praise. Why? Because she gave proper attention to the Word of God and the importance of Jesus speaking His Word. We see the Samaritan leper, he was truly thankful, praised by the one who deserves all praise. But not only that, the Syrophoenician woman was praised by the one who deserves all praise. Say, what for? Her extraordinary faith. Listen to this. She had extraordinary faith. Matthew 15, verse 22 and 23. Behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she doth cry for us." Here's the story. Jesus was on the coast of Tyre and Sidon. A woman cries out and asked that Jesus would have mercy on her and her daughter. And everybody look right at me here. Her daughter was vexed with the devil. Jesus doesn't even answer when this lady cries out. So she comes over and begins to worship him and falls down at his feet. And she says, "Please, I'm begging you, help me for my daughter's sake." And he says this. But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." She turns around and says, and she said, "True, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." He said, "I'm going to cast that to the dogs." And it has a little something to do with religious titles in that day, if you will. But she turns around and says, "I'm not asking for everything. I'll just take the crumbs that would fall from the table. That's all it takes. I can take one little crumb from you, Jesus, and it'll change my whole life." Get this, and Jesus, the one who deserves all praise, praises her and says this in verse 28 of Matthew 15. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. He praises her for her faith. Wow, this is about a gal. This is about a woman. She needed something, and she exercises faith in an incredible way. And he compliments her. What a compliment to think that the one who deserves all praise would praise her for her faith. Hey, could God praise you for any recent act of faith? In America, it's relatively rare that people live by faith much. You say, why? You have more than you need. Even when you think you're just going to die, you have more than most countries will ever have. So it's pretty rare that we do much by true faith. When was the last time you did something for God by faith? Is your faith in God? Or is your faith in your money? Is your faith in God? Is your faith in your job? Is your faith in God? And we're going to have to watch this more and more. Is your faith in God or is it in your government? I understand the purpose of government, and I think the government serves a good purpose, but I'm going to tell you something. We have a God that we are to worship. Is your faith in God or in yourself? Is your faith in God or your bank account? Is your faith in God or your education? What's your faith in? This woman exercised, proved a faith that Jesus turns around and says, "Oh woman, great is thy faith." Great is thy faith. The one who deserves all praise has turned and praised a lowly woman for her faith in God. She said, "Look, I don't have to have a loaf of bread. I don't have to have a whole piece of bread. I don't have to have a half a piece of bread. I don't have to have the whole chunk of crust. Give me a crumb. A crumb of what you are is enough for me to have total faith in everything you can do for me." Powerful faith. Understanding what God can do and turning it over to Him and saying, "Just give me a little with God will go a long way." And she knew that. And the one who deserves all praise took the time to praise a human being. Have you ever done anything where it was so big and so much by faith that God could brag on you for it? Understand the compliment she received? Oh, woman, you're one of great faith. Have you ever done anything for God that gave God bragging rights on your faith? It's a good thing we're having our missions conference this week. Might give some of you a chance to financially do something that might take a little bit of faith. Bull, but not only that. I see another time when I see the one who deserving all praise praising a human being. He praised the Good Samaritan for what? His unselfish kindness. Luke 10:30 says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Here's a story. A man traveled from Jerusalem to Jericho. Thieves attacked this man. They took his clothes. They beat him. They left him there to die. A priest comes by. The priest sees this man bloodied, bruised, beaten, and stripped. And the priest goes to the other side of the road and acts like he does not see this man that is victimized by evil. Then a Levite came by. He too looked at this bloody, beaten man. And the Levite steps to the other side of the road and looks to the sky and passes by. The Bible says a third man came by, seeing this bloody mess of a man lying there, no money, no clothes, everything stolen, beaten up, dying very, very possibly. A third man came by, and it was a Samaritan. In all actuality, the Samaritan should have been an enemy to this individual lying there. And that Samaritan, he's the one that we call the Good Samaritan. He had compassion on that bloody mess of a man. He doctored that man's wounds. He put him on his horse. He probably took off some of his clothing or reached into his backpack and used some of his clothes to dress this man. He took the man to a hotel. When he got to the hotel, this guy was a mess. He got to the hotel. He said to the innkeeper, he said, sir, this man right here, I want you to take care of him. The innkeeper said, what's his name? The Samaritan said, I don't know. Well, under whose name do we put the hotel room? The Samaritan said, put it under my name. Well, whose credit card are we going to use? The Samaritan said, you use my credit card. He said, well, how long is the guy going to stay? He said, I don't know. He can stay as long as he needs to stay. Feed him whatever he needs to eat. Clothe him in any way he needs to be clothed. Put it all on my bill. And the innkeeper said, you don't even know his name? No, I do not. But I do know this. He needed somebody. And my chance of going by there was pretty slim. And I was there. And he needed somebody. And I'm going to help him. What a story. And Jesus, the one who deserves all praise, praises the Good Samaritan. He says in Luke 10:36-37, which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You know what Jesus did? Jesus was telling this story about that man that was beaten and the Good Samaritan that came by. He asked everybody standing around. He said, who do you think was really a friend to that guy? And of course the answer was, it was that Good Samaritan. And then he turned to everybody standing by and said, now you go live like him. Wait a minute. Who are we to live like? Jesus. And Jesus tells a human being to go live like that human being. The one who deserves all praise has praised a human being for their good behavior. And he actually says, did you hear what that said? It said, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Jesus saying, go live like that guy right there. Wow, that blows me away. The example, the epitome of how we're to live, complimented a human being by telling others, oh, she'd live like him. Whoa. Wow. That's powerful. No wonder, the one who deserves all praise has praised this person. They have behaved like Jesus. They have behaved like Jesus. Hey, Jesus praised this man. The Good Samaritan has been praised. Why? Because of his excellent example of kindness. Wait. Are you kind to strangers? No, no, no. No, I'm not asking you if you're kind to the people down at the church. Look, if you're not kind to the people down at the church, God knows. You're an animal toward strangers. Some of you are animal toward other people in the church. See, this man, it was a stranger. He didn't know his name. You might want to be careful how you treat people that you don't know. You might be, hey, you might be behaving badly toward an angel of God. You might be entertaining angels unawares. God might have put that person in your life just to see how you'd treat them. How do you treat people? How do you treat strangers? Are you kind to them? Are you kind to the poor? Are you kind to those that have illness? Are you kind to them? Are you kind to your enemies? Are you kind to those? Are you kind to those that possibly could not return the favor? Probably you have never done something unselfishly until you've done something for someone that has no possibility of returning the favor. We live in a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of a society. I'll help you because I think there's a chance for exchange. And that's not the greatest expression of love. The greatest expression of love is to do something for someone that can't do it back. And you've seen the greatest expression of love. You could not save yourself. And Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, came down here born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half sinless years. They crucified him, buried him. He got up out of the grave and made a salvation available for you, and he don't need you to save him. He came to save you, and there's nothing that you can do that is enough payback. You say, why? Because he loved you. We were poor and undone and sinners and wounded and bloody and a mess, and the thief called the devil had come and stolen our success and stolen everything about us, and Jesus came along and doctored us up just like the story tells the Good Samaritan. Are you kind to those who are not kind to you? Are you kind to people who are starved for a little kindness? Can I tell you something, folks? If somebody's fishing for a compliment, why would it kill you to give it? You say, I think they need to humble down. I think you do. If it just seems like someone's a little starved for some attention. Oh, and I understand humility. And I understand having a contrite spirit. I understand all that. But folks, those of us in the human race we're a beat up breed. Sometimes it would not hurt that you and I were a little kinder, and that you and I, it would be good that we praise one another and that we complimented one another. And especially when it comes to the things that we attempt to do for good and for Jesus Christ. But I see this, and I see the one who deserves all praise taking a moment and praising the Good Samaritan. Why? Because of his unselfish kindness. Hey, I said it earlier. Do you understand? You understand the one who deserves all praise is now praising? If you were that basketball player and Michael Jordan told you, good shot. If you were that baseball player and Mickey Mantle said, good hit. If you were that businessman and Bill Gates said, excellent business strategy, you would say, what a compliment. Let me tell you something. The one who deserves all compliments gives you a chance to receive a compliment for this kind of behavior. What kind of behavior? For lifting up Jesus like Peter did. For listening to the Word of God the right way like Mary of Bethany. How could we get that kind of a compliment? By being truly thankful, like the Samaritan leper, like the Syrophoenician woman who had extraordinary faith. Hey, like the Good Samaritan who had unselfish kindness. God said, let me compliment you for your behavior down there. Let me praise you. The one who deserves all praise has praised someone in the human race. But not only that, we see a poor widow was praised by the one who deserves all praise. You say, what? For what? For her financial sacrifice for the kingdom of God and for Jesus Christ and her church. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. It says, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. I want to stop there before I go any farther on this. Let me tell you all something. So you know, as far as your preacher is concerned, people with a lot of money don't impress me. Now, I'll treat them right and fairly, but how much money you have doesn't really matter to me. That doesn't matter to me. And I believe that Jesus looked at everybody giving, and I noticed he took time to compliment the ones that had very little that gave. Now, you say, well, hey, I've got a few bucks in my pocket. We're not going to be your enemy. Now, I virtually know some churches that they're such champions for the poor, they drive off all the people that have experienced some success. Thank God for the people, but there's some people who worked awful hard to get successful. God bless you. God bless you. Use that for God. And we're not going to have a class system around here. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We're all a bunch of sinners saved by the same grace and have the same God and the same book and the same Holy Spirit. But in this story here, Jesus noticed this widow. Jesus looked and he saw the rich man giving in the offering. He also noticed the poor woman giving in the offering. The rich man gave of their abundance and the poor widow gave two mites, which was probably about an eighth of a cent. The widow had two mites, but that's all she had. That's all she had. The rich man had plenty left over afterwards to spend. The Bible says she gave all of her living. Say, what's it mean by she gave all of her living? She didn't have any money to buy any food that day. She gave it all. Rich man could pop out a few more $100 and go on down to the restaurant. She gave it all. She didn't know how she was going to pay her rent. That's her living. Rich man, he had abundance. Said they gave of his abundance. He had plenty left over when he was done. Jesus, the one who deserves all praise, says this. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. Jesus did not say that that widow cast in more than that one millionaire. He said she has cast in more than them all. For all these have of their abundance cast unto the offering of God, but she of her penury has cast in all the living that she had. Jesus, the one who deserves all praise, praises her. There's some people in here. Brother Heidenreich and I were talking about this week. We'll start taking faith promise cards from our church starting on Wednesday night. And he said, Brother Owens, he said, sometimes people don't realize that we are training a generation of children and young people that will grow up and become the future of the church and the future of those that will help to keep missionaries on the field. And I told him, I said, Brother Heidenreich, when the faith promise cards are passed out, a lot of children will write a nickel on their card. And I use my calculator to figure up every nickel. Never bypass even a penny on the card. You say, why? I think there are some children that don't have any money and they put a nickel on there and they gave their all. And you and I out of our abundance have given. Hey, the one who deserves all praise turns and praises this widow. When was the last time you gave until it hurt? And I'll tell you again, folks, we're paying our bills. Our church is paying our bills. Lest you get the wrong impression and you think that I'm just trying to get a bunch of money for the church. I am trying to help you to live in such a way that you are blessed by Almighty God. It wasn't too many days ago I told a story. It was right before Christmas. And I came to church and on a Sunday night I preached a sermon about the Christmas sock. And we passed an offering tray or a sock that night to collect some money. And I told a story about one of our missionary families who just a few days prior to Christmas, they had a son that died right before Christmas. A teenage boy virtually dropped over dead. I told that story. One of our good men came to me just a few days later. He said, Preacher, I got to tell you a story. And I don't worry, I won't reveal who you are. But he came to me, he said, Brother Owens, he said, I knew that week that I would be getting my Christmas bonus. I knew how much it was. I always depend on that bonus to get my wife and my children their Christmas. He said, I was sitting in church that night and all of a sudden you started telling that story. And then you said, you're going to take an offering to help those that family that had lost a boy. He said, Preacher, he said, God most definitely and specifically spoke to my heart. He said, I'll be honest. He doesn't always do that much. He said, but that night God reached down and squeezed my heart. And I knew what God wanted. God wanted my whole Christmas bonus. He said, I thought, but I won't be able to buy anything for my wife and my kids. It's what I depend on for Christmas. He said, but Brother Owens, I knew to not do it was the wrong thing. He said, I gave it all. And I walked away saying, I just don't know how I'm going to take care of the people I love. He said, but they called me into work next day. He said, most normally I make about $20 an hour doing what I do. He said, they asked me if I wanted a little job of a little different description. He said, when I got there, they were going to pay me $40 an hour. He said, they told me it'd take about 4 hours. He said, 5 days later, 40 hours at 40 bucks an hour, I finished. He said, wow, look what God did. He said, why would you tell me a story like that? Because it happens all the time. Good family, and again, I won't embarrass them. A good family of ours sat in my office this week, and we were talking. And they said, preacher, the other day, we had to make a decision. Were we faithful to God, or would we pay a particular bill? We went ahead and put our money in, and then all of a sudden, here comes God. Here comes God. We did what was right. She gave more than the rest. Why? Hey, let me tell you. This widow, she was more than a tither. Do you think that she was the one that would try to steal God's tithe? Oh, no. No. You think she was a gross or a net tither? Huh? You think she kept her faith promise? I'm going to guess so. Speaking of money, I like this. Everybody awake out there? If not, I'll tell you what I could do to wake you up. Okay, folks. Sermon's over. All right, fooled you. Okay, stay with me for a couple extra minutes, will you? Speaking of generosity, there was this truck driver who had to deliver 500 penguins to the state zoo. As he was driving his truck through the desert, the truck breaks down. After waiting by the side of the road for about 3 hours, he waves another truck down, and there is a blonde truck driver. He offers $500 to take the penguins to the state zoo for him. The next day, the first truck driver arrives in town and sees this blonde truck driver crossing the road with 500 penguins walking behind him in single file. The first truck driver jumps out of his truck and says, "What's going on? Yesterday, I gave you $500 to take these penguins to the zoo." The blonde truck driver replies, "Well, I did take them to the zoo, and I had enough money left over today, so we're going to get ice cream." You say, Brother Owens, if I were to give to God the way you say the Bible teaches me to give to God, I wouldn't have anything left over. My dear friend, you might not be able to calculate it with your calculator, but I'll make you a promise. You give what you're supposed to give, and you'll have enough money left over for ice cream. Look right this way. Let me give you one more illustration of the one who deserves all praise. Praising. The persistent widow that was praised by the one who deserves all praise for her consistency and character. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verse 2 and 4, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. Everybody look right at me. She came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. He would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. We'll stop right there. I'll tell you what, folks, everybody can look right here. You can look. Somebody's having a moment of struggle. You can go ahead and look. I know you want to look. Someone's not well and they're going to step out. And of course, we'll let them get out. They don't want to be embarrassed, I'm sure. Matter of fact, let's pray for them. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes. Father, bless this situation, please. Please. Again, give me the attention of the people. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look right back at me. In this story, there was a certain judge in a certain city. There's also a certain widow. She said to the judge, "Avenge me of mine adversary." In other words, help me. Someone's done me wrong. He ignored her. She bothered him over again. She came back to him and said, "Judge, help me." He ignored her. She came back and said, "Judge, help me." He ignored her. She came back and bothered him again. Finally, he said, okay, lady, I'm going to help you. Just leave me alone. You men know what I mean. And then Jesus, the one who deserves all praise, said this: "Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." She was praised for her consistency. She's praised for her tenacity. She was praised because she wouldn't give up. She was praised because she would not quit. She was praised because she had character. She was praised. She faced something. Maybe an injustice. Maybe a pain. Maybe it hurt. But she said, "I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going back to God. I'm not going to give up. I'll be where I'm supposed to be. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I'll be faithful. I'll be consistent. You can count on me." I believe God praised someone for their spiritual character. She wouldn't be stopped. She was committed to her cause. She was not distracted, but stayed after her purpose. And by the way, her character proved her belief in her cause. Praise from the one who deserves all praise. If I were a baseball player and Mickey Mantle was sitting in the stands and I got a hit and he came over and said, "Son, that's a pretty good swing. You got a piece of that ball." Boy, I'd walk away thinking, "Well, look at that. Mickey Mantle thinks I'm a hitter." Well, folks, I can give you even better news than that. You can behave as a Christian in such a way that the one who deserves all praise, the one who deserves all glory, the one who deserves all honor can look down and say, "Keep an eye on that gal right there. Keep an eye on that fella right there. They are living in such a way that I can praise them." That's powerful. I'm finished, but let me ask this question. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you're not saved, you ought to get born again. If you're not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven, let me recommend to you salvation. You could leave this place on your way to heaven. Not because you're good, but because He's good. Not because of your work, but because of His finished work. The cross of Calvary. His death, His burial, His resurrection. If you're not saved, we invite you to the Savior. If you are saved, maybe we should strive to serve Him in such a way that if He chose to do so, He who deserves all praise could praise us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here that would say, "Brother Owens, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. I'm not saved. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. Pray for me, preacher." Good. I see that hand. Someone else, just say, "I'm not saved. If I died today, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me, pastor. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I'm not saved." Who else would say, "That's me. I'm not saved"? Would you raise your hand? Well, God bless you to the ones that have. How many Christians here today would say, "Preacher, there's something in that sermon today. I specifically, God spoke to my heart. There's something there. I think God got a hold of me on that." And maybe more than one point, but you say, specifically, "God spoke to my heart about something today." Would you raise your hand and say, "God spoke to me about something"? Oh, hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Hands up in the balcony. Hands up on the lower floor. God bless you. You may put those hands down. In a moment, we're going to have an altar call. And what that means is, the instrumentalists will begin to play. When they begin to play, the choir will begin to sing, and we're all going to stand in just a second. When we stand, if you need to be saved, leave your seat. You walk toward the front. The men that are now sitting on this platform will be standing down front at the end of each aisle. Just walk up to them and say, "I want to be born again." We'll have someone, a trained soul winner, take a Bible and show you how to be saved. So if you're not saved, you come. If you say, "Brother Owens, I've been saved, but I've never made it public," then you come and we'll help you to do that. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. Maybe you just need to come and get on your face down here. Maybe it's an issue of faith. Maybe it's an issue of kindness. Maybe it's an issue of sacrifice. I don't know. Maybe it's an issue of thankfulness. Maybe somebody needs to get up off your pew in a minute and come down here and thank God for your job, or thank God for your wife, or thank God for your church. I don't know. But the one who deserves all praise would like to have some bragging rights with you. He'd like for you to live in such a way that He could praise you. Though we know that He deserves all praise. If you need this altar, don't you be afraid to come. Maybe you've been saved and baptized by immersion. You need to join our church. We welcome you to come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Choir, sing for us if you will. If you need the altar, you come. If you're not saved, you come.
not saved, walk up to one of the men at the island and say, I need to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come and present yourself for baptism. If you have been saved and you have been baptized, you say, I'd like to join the church, you come. Come and join the membership of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Maybe you need to come and rededicate your life. Maybe there is one of these points in this little study of the one who deserves all praise, praising the Creator, praising man for man's behavior. Maybe one of those points is extra special to you. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Take a moment. Maybe you need to come and be thankful. Maybe you need to come and make some type of a commitment. Takers be. Write legibly for me, please. Soul winners, take your time. Do it right. The one who deserves all praise. Take a moment to pay a compliment to a lowly human being. Slips out there, please bring me what you have. God bless you, folks. You can all have a seat if I call your